Welcome, friends, to the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you. Steve Vaughn also in studio with me. We are a couple of homeschooling dads, and we are concerned about, well, faith, family, and freedom in the 21st century as the Western world is increasingly turning away from the Christian foundations of the last 2,000 years. And we are headed towards massive persecution and a division within the churches on the basis of this persecution. And homosexuality seems to be the issue that is going to split the churches and engage the persecution of Christians, much like what Nero did at the outset of the persecutions against the Christian church on behalf of the Roman powers. It all began with Nero's persecution, Nero being the homosexual who brought homosexual marriage in and then began to persecute Christians. And that is what is going on in America, in the Western world, and it's really the means by which the entire evangelical church is being split right down the center. And this story from Kentucky, I think, is a good illustration of what is going on. This young 15-year-old girl was expelled from a Christian school in Kentucky for a bunch of reasons, chief of which was her public declarations concerning her acceptance of certain forms of fornication, of which lesbianism appears to have been chief among them. NBC News, Washington Post, The Today Show, etc., rushed into characterized the story as a girl who was kicked out of a Christian school for her posting a picture sporting a rainbow-striped sweater munching down a rainbow cake. There was not much of an indication she was celebrating the Noahic Covenant. She was coming out. In her Instagram account, it was clear that she was coming out, so to speak. Coming out means that you're just coming out and proving the worst possible abominable sins of the day that happen to be the most politically correct sins of the day as well. So to make matters worthless, though, her mother and father backed her, and they were courted by the morning news programs. Okay, but I think we need to give Christian schools and Christian colleges and universities a heads up that the general media perspective of Christian schools is turning very, very sour. The media is turning against Christian education, Christian schools, any Christian organization that has anything of a public accommodation aspect to it and refuses to accept certain forms of socially accepted sins of the day. That's going to be an issue. Steve, I think this is going to become a significant issue resulting in the closing down of many Christian schools and colleges, and certainly they will not survive as long as the coalition of Christian colleges and universities and the National Evangelical Association have capitulated to the fairness for all law. Remember, it was the CCCU, the Christian colleges, and the National Evangelical Association that got behind the fairness for all law. It's fairness for all except for Jack Phillips and Christian schools and universities and businesses. That's the law it is. So let's just say it. This is the law that would persecute Jack Phillips, the baker in Denver, for refusing to do business with homosexual weddings. And so that's where we are right now, Steve. We're at the point at which Christian schools need to understand that the CCCU and the National Evangelical Association have declared war against them, that the NEA and the CCCU have declared war against Christian schools and Christian colleges. And do remember the National Evangelical Association is made up of the PCA, the EPC, the Evangelical Presbyterians, the Christian Reformed Church, the Christian Missionary Alliance Church, the Church of the Nazarene, the Salvation Army, the Vineyards, the Mennonite Brethren, and so forth and so on. Assemblies of God and on it goes. So these are the evangelicals that have joined together in an organization called the National Evangelical Association, and they are out to persecute. That is, the National Evangelical Association and the CCCU is out to persecute Jack Phillips and require that Christian colleges and Christian schools submit to a federal mandate relating to accommodating homosexuality and transgenderism. And so that's where we are right now. This is a gigantic battle. I would fully expect many of these evangelical denominations to pull out of the NEA. I haven't heard them protest against what the National Evangelical Association, the CCCU, have done. So that's concerning. I'm not telling everybody to leave the PCA. No, I'm not saying that they should leave the EPC Church or the EV Free Church or the Christian Missionary Alliance churches, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not telling them to leave their churches. I'm just simply saying that as far as these churches are members of the National Evangelical Association, they are setting us up for a fairly significant persecution of Christians over the next 10 to 20 years. And this is concerning. This is probably the most concerning thing I have seen in the Christian church in my lifetime.
Yeah, you take a look at the persecution of the church, and it turns out that the church, is one of the biggest persecutors of the church when they start to believe things that are not true. And so that's one of the things that's going on now. We need to be careful as to, who we listen to, what we believe in. It really all has to go back to what the Bible says. We need to test all things in light of Scripture and hold fast to that which is true to the Bible.
For the first time that I can remember, the media is targeting Christian schools, and I think this is significant. The media is turning Christian schools into a pariah, into a social outcast, and the CCCU and the National Evangelical Association is not helping, rather hurting the situation. Legally, homeschooling may be the only option left for Christians in the next 10 years because of the persecution that is arising. Be back with more in just a moment on the Generations broadcast. Stay with me. This may be the most important little conference in the year 2020. Folks, we are facing the largest worldwide multinational persecution in the history of the Christian church right now. Christian families, let's introduce our children to the Christian life, because it is through much tribulation that we shall enter the kingdom of God. Now, this conference is to be held in Victoria, Texas, and it will increase awareness of the persecuted body of Christ. Space is very limited, but registration is free. By the way, the first 30 registrants will receive a copy of Taking the World for Jesus. Register today at SouthTexasBibleConference.com. That's SouthTexasBibleConference.com. And we are back on the Generations broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you as we discuss the milieu of the Christian school in the year 2020. Man, this Christian school in Kentucky got themselves in a heap of trouble over this student, only 15 years of age, but promoting lesbianism fairly actively. And that resulted in the expulsion of the student, but then the media firestorm. And, I feel sorry for this Christian school. Certainly it's hard to be the victim of the media firestorm. I understand what that's like. I hope they won't capitulate. I hope they won't begin to become mealy-mouthed about the sin of homosexuality and the power of the gospel to cleanse us from all sin, such that we could say such were some of you, but you've been cleansed, you've been washed. And I think it's hard to stand in the midst of persecution. And this Christian school is certainly the brunt of some of this persecution. You do remember that Vice President Pence was, or at least his wife, was the object of persecution because she had supported a Christian school which maintained something of a Christian ethical perspective on biblical ethics. Well, just a couple of things to say about Christian schools, and I think we should interact with Christian schools somewhat. Remember, Christian school population has dropped about 1 million students in the last 15 years. Those are the most recent numbers, down to only about 600,000 American evangelical kids are attending private Christian schools, whereas the homeschooling movement has grown at the same time from about 1 million to 3.5 million at the same time. So the homeschool movement is pretty much displacing the Christian school movement in this country for a lot of reasons. But I think these are some of the reasons, Steve. Christian schools sometimes take in troubled children who will often have an influence on the other children in the school, rather than the school having influence upon them. Now, that was my experience as a Christian school teacher. I taught at a Christian school in Oregon back in, I'm going to say, about 1991. And also, I taught another Christian school at one point. But I find with Christian schools is, you know, the bane of the Christian school is you have to sometimes bring in the troubled children. And you're not really sure that these children are ready for the discipleship that you want to provide in a Christian school. Technically, the Christian school must be a discipleship center, an extension of the Christian parent. Oftentimes, it's not. It becomes a reformatory, trying to exercise restraint of out-of-control kids, and you barely doing that. So it becomes kind of reformatory, and that's just an exercise in futility. Sometimes it becomes a secular educational institution where it's all about the education, all about creating proud, arrogant, educated students in which Christian discipleship is set aside for academics. And sometimes the peer group becomes 10 times more influential than the few well-intentioned teachers who wanted to disciple but couldn't quite pull it off. So these are the challenges that face the Christian school. It's also pretty difficult for these schools to make sure that the families and children are members in good standing of a Bible-believing church. Now, they may ask for that, but they're not in continual, you know, contact with the Christian church. So those attending the school may be falling out and are no longer faithfully attending the church with whom they are supposed to be accountable. And so it turns out that these families are not in good standing in a Bible-believing church. As an extension of the Christian family and church, you know, the school really needs to have something of a covenantal role and must be sure that the church has good oversight and maintains good accountability on the families that are using the Christian school. And see, there isn't always that communication, Steve, between the churches represented by the families attending the school and the school itself. And for that reason, you lose that spiritual accountability. And then you wind up kind of with this, you know, mixed objective in the school. On the one hand, they're trying to, you know, provide something of a reformatory for out of control kids. And then on the other hand, they're still trying to kind of catch as catch can, do a little discipleship on the side. And that's really hard for them to pull it off.
Yeah, that, I mean, that's a similar problem and, you know, kind of a physical result when you have doctors who multiple doctors seeing one patient and they don't communicate with each other. They can prescribe medications that end up, you know, reacting to the other medications. And that's similar to what's going on here. You've got churches that don't communicate with the school. They don't communicate with the parents. Parents don't communicate with the church or the school. The teachers don't communicate with anybody. And so you end up with just this massive mess and confusion on all sides. And then all of a sudden something happens. You go, whoa, what happened here? Well, it could have been avoided by a lot more communication.
Yeah, and to understand, you know, whether the family and the children, the young teens, are still in good standing with the Christian church could really help the Christian school. In other words, if the 16 or 17 year old young person is not a member of in good standing, in other words, has been removed from the membership of the church, he probably should be removed from the membership of the school as well. In other words, the school and the church need to be talking to each other if they're fulfilling their covenantal role in providing the discipleship. Now, the question as to whether or not, you know, the Christian family should delegate that much of the education / discipleship of their children to a Christian school is another discussion. So I don't want to go there today on this edition of the program. I'm just simply laying out the issues with which the Christian school must grapple in the 21st century. And the problem has gotten a lot worse than when I was teaching in the 1990s. It's way out of control. Imagine a Dutch Reformed Christian school in 1958. Steve, okay, or, you know, some Lutheran Christian school or a Dutch Reformed Christian school in 1958, having problems with a girl coming out of the closet at 15 years of age explaining her lesbian activities on Instagram. Now, you know, imagine that. Imagine that Christian Reformed school in Iowa in 1958 having to deal with that. This is out of control. This is something that's going to have to completely restructure the way we think about the discipleship and education of Christian children in the 21st century.
Yeah. I mean, the Bible is the one that told us who's responsible for this in the first place. And I know that there are times when we need to delegate some things to other people, but really the parents have got to take charge. They've got to be the ones who are in charge of their children's education, just as it says in Deuteronomy 6 and Psalm 78. And we are the ones who will have to stand before God and say, this is what I did with what you gave to me.
Exactly. And I think what you find is Christian pastors, Christian teachers in Christian schools often resorting to homeschooling their own children while they're sort of on the side working the reformatory. So you know, they understand this. I think there are those participating in Christian schools that understand these tensions. And again, things are different today. And a lot of it is because there's such an individualized way of dealing with pop culture. That is, you know, as I've said before, in the 1990s, children would watch television with their families in the living room. But you come to 2007 with the introduction of the iPhone, and now every child as early as 10 or 12 years of age have access to the iPhone. And so they're able to, you know, watch whatever they want pretty much out on their own, or it's impossible to control the usage of the iPhone on the part of every family represented in a Christian school, or every family represented in the youth group in your church, or in every family in the neighborhood where you live. You may have control as a Christian family over what happens with the iPhone, the iPads in your own family, but you don't have control over what's happening with the iPhone, the iPad in every other family on the street. And so, you know, the opportunities for children to access pornography and such is 100 times, if not 10,000 times worse than it was in the 1970s and 1980s. Churches were able to maintain something of uniform cultural standards instead of the chaos that exists in churches today, but there are no uniform cultural standards today. Peers are discipled by their peers today far more so than their own parents and pastors. So for this reason, Steve, I'm not sure that the Christian school is going to survive in that environment. I just can't imagine a scenario, with maybe the possible exception of a Christian school where parents are all part of the very same close church community where they come together and agree on the same cultural standards relating to popular media, iPhone usage, and so forth. Now, that may happen with some Amish communities, but I'm not sure it will happen anywhere else. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes total sense. It's unfortunate, but you know, it also may drive parents to learn how to educate their kids the way God intended it to be anyway.
And if we come back to, you know, Ephesians 6:4 and the book of Proverbs and Deuteronomy 6:7-9, what do you find? Send your kids off to the Christian schools. Delegate 90% of your children's education to other teachers. Be sure that your church maintains a good Sunday school and a day school program. Be sure that you get your kids off to the daycare program that is offered by your local church. Is that what happens in 1 Timothy chapter 5? Is that what's, you know, where mothers are told to go home and manage the household and raise their children? Is that what we read in Ephesians 6:4? Fathers, bring your children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Is that what we read in Deuteronomy 6 and verse 7? Sunday school teachers, bring the children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Pastors, it's your responsibility to bring the children up, to teach them as you sit in the Sunday school rooms, in the day school rooms. Is that what it says in Deuteronomy 6:7-9? What does the Word of God say? Is the Word of God primarily about delegation some point to Samuel, who was adopted into the family of Eli? And thankfully, Eli was maybe just a tad bit more faithful in providing some leadership and some discipleship for Samuel than he was for his own sons. So we have something of a delegation going on there. But again, in that case, what is it? So discipleship, where a young man was living in the home of a spiritual father by the name of Eli. So, friends, as far as I can tell, there is no demonstration of a massive delegation of education in the Word of God. You certainly allow for some level of delegation. We find that with Eli. We find that with Paul taking a young Timothy under his wing and discipling him in a one-on-one scenario. And that, of course, is why we do a discipleship center for young men out here on the Eastern Plains of Colorado. We believe in the discipleship of young men on the part of older men, elders in the church. Of course, yes, of course. But is that mass producing 700 people through a school system? That, my friends, is more of a Greek model than it would be a Hebraic model or a biblical model. So let's think in terms of the principles provided by Scripture, not to separate out education from discipleship, not to separate out parents from the discipleship of their children as they sit in their house, as they walk by the way, as they rise up, and as they lie down. I would encourage you to my book, Upgrade, The 10 Secrets to the Best Education for Your Child. It is the book I wrote on the biblical principles related to the education of children. There probably is no more important, no more hotly debated subject, no more significant and relevant subject today in the battle of the worldviews than this subject on education. So get a copy of Upgrade, The 10 Secrets to the Best Education for Your Child. And of course, Keep the Faith on Education, my survey of the wisdom of the ages concerning the education of children. And that book also available at our website, generations.org or kevinswanson.com. Please get a copy of Upgrade, The 10 Secrets at our website, and also Keep the Faith on Education at generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.